Welcome to the My Virtual HR Radio Show with your host, Robert Redden. My Virtual HR, affordable outsourced HR support for smaller businesses in England and Wales.
Welcome to show number 10 of the My Virtual HR Radio Show. Most managers are clear about how to deal with an employee who pulls a sickie when they are neither ill nor incapacitated. In today's show, I'll be looking at dealing with malingerers. They are the small proportion of your employees who, although they may be ill or incapacitated, are deliberately exaggerating the extent of their illness or incapacity and its effects so as to prevent them from returning to work and enabling them to continue receiving the benefits you pay. Such cases are often treated as a capability issue. However, a recent Employment Appeal Tribunal decision suggests that this approach needs rethinking. Before getting into the detail of today's topic, I want to say a few words about My Virtual HR. My Virtual HR, www.myvirtualhr.co.uk, is a membership website providing affordable, outsourced HR support for smaller businesses. Members have access to over 200 pages of premium content organized into a convenient A to Z format. There are also answers to frequently asked HR questions, breaking news section, articles, videos, key employment data, and much more. New content is continuously being added. Membership is from less than 24 pence a day. Members can also buy employment contracts, employee handbooks, template letters, HR forms, and HR consultancy, all at affordable prices. It will usually be considered misconduct or gross misconduct for an employee to take sick leave and or claim sick pay when not genuinely unfit for work through incapacity or illness. But what about a situation where an employee has suffered an injury or is ill but is exaggerating its severity? A common way of dealing with a situation is to treat it as a capability issue. Recently, however, the Employment Appeal Tribunal has said that this is the wrong approach. I will illustrate the point with a discussion of the recent case of Metroline West Limited against Ajaj. What happened in this case? Well, Mr. Ajaj was employed by Metroline for 10 years as a bus driver. In 2014, Ajaj reported that he had slipped on water on the floor of the depot's toilets and suffered an injury. He was seen a week later by the employer's occupational health advisor, who concluded Mr. Ajaj was not presently fit for driving duties. Mr. Ajaj claimed he was not able to return to work as he was in pain and could not walk quickly or for more than 5 or 6 minutes. He also claimed he had difficulties in sitting for long periods, as well as difficulties in carrying shopping and dressing himself. Metroline had concerns about the genuineness of the extent of Mr. Ajaj's injury and arranged for covert surveillance of him around the time he was due to attend a series of sickness absence interviews. Having reviewed the surveillance evidence, Metroline concluded that Mr. Ajaj's abilities, as shown in the video footage, were not consistent with what he had reported. Following the third sickness absence meeting, Mr. Ajaj was suspended and subsequently dismissed for gross misconduct, for having made a false claim for sick pay, misrepresenting his ability to attend work, and attempting to defraud the company with a claim for injury at work that was exaggerated. Mr. Ajaj brought a claim for unfair dismissal. The Employment Tribunal treated the matter as one of capability, but accepted that Mr. Ajaj had exaggerated the effects of his injury and that this was culpable and misleading. However, the Employment Tribunal found there was no evidence that he had exaggerated his inability to perform his contractual duties as a bus driver. The Employment Tribunal therefore found that Mr. Ajaj had been unfairly dismissed and also made a finding for wrongful dismissal. However, it also found that Mr. Ajaj had misled Metroline and the occupational health doctor as to the extent of his injury and its effects. Not surprisingly, Metroline appealed. Overturning the tribunal's decision, the Employment Appeal Tribunal pointed out that as Mr. Ajaj was not dismissed for capability, but for misconduct, the question for the tribunal was not whether Mr. Ajaj was capable of walking or sitting for long periods. The question was whether the employer had reasonable grounds to believe, based on a reasonable investigation, that the employee had deliberately misrepresented his injury and its effects. Having concluded that Mr. Adjudge had exaggerated the effects of his injury, and that this was culpable and misleading, it was perverse for the tribunal to hold that the dismissal was unfair. The Employment Appeal Tribunal also overturned the wrongful dismissal claim, saying, an employee that pulls a sickie is representing that he is unable to attend work by reason of sickness. If that person is not sick, that seems to me to amount to dishonesty and to a fundamental breach of the trust and confidence that is at the heart of the employer-employee relationship. What then are the lessons from this case? If employers are concerned that an employee may have misled them about the reasons for their absence, it is important to deal with the issue and try to establish what happened. An employer cannot make an assumption without first having concluded a reasonable investigation. So the first thing to do is to conduct a reasonable investigation. That means you must undertake a proper investigation and obtain evidence. Such an investigation might include covert surveillance to observe the employee carrying out similar tasks to those he or she would perform in their daily work activities, to confirm or disprove claims that have been made about the extent of the incapacity. Such evidence may need to be interpreted by an occupational health doctor. A medical examination by an independent medical practitioner may also be required and is to be preferred over a statement made by the employee's general medical practitioner because, motivated by the best of reasons, the GP may be overcautious in their assessment and thereby unwittingly supporting any malingering. However, if that is the only medical evidence available, use it by all means, but treat it with a degree of caution. Cases of this nature are rarely black or white, which is why you should obtain the best evidence you can get from as many sources as is practicable. Medical evidence should be interpreted by a suitably qualified and experienced practitioner. ACAS has produced a code of practice for investigating disciplinary complaints and grievances. It can be downloaded from the ACAS website, and members of My Virtual HR can also download a copy from the Downloads page in the Members area of our website, www.myvirtualhr.co.uk. Our website also has further guidance about how to conduct an investigation. Based on the evidence you have collated, you'll need to determine whether you're dealing with a question about the employee's capability or whether you reasonably believe that they are malingering and their conduct is being called into question. If you determine that this is a capability issue, go down that route. The question you will then need to determine is whether he or she is or is not capable of resuming their duties. That question is irrelevant if, based on the reasonable investigation you have conducted, you reasonably believe that the employee is or has been dishonest and that he or she is malingering. The question to ask yourself then is, has he or she deliberately misrepresented the extent of their injury or illness and its impact? If the answer to that question is yes, you are then dealing with an allegation of misconduct or even gross misconduct, depending on the facts of the case. Notwithstanding the Employment Appeal Tribunal's comments in Metroline West Limited against Adjudge that a deliberate misrepresentation by an employee that he or she is unfit to attend work will inevitably amount to a fundamental breach of contract, it is better to treat the matter as a disciplinary issue, in which case you must follow a fair procedure and comply with the ACAS Code of Practice on discipline and grievances, than to rely on contractual remedies for fundamental breach. In Metroline West Limited against Adjudge, the employer conducted a reasonable investigation and followed a fair procedure, which resulted in Mr. Adjudge being dismissed for gross misconduct and the Employment Appeal Tribunal ruling that his dismissal for exaggerating the extent of the injury preventing him from returning to work was fair.
You're listening to the My Virtual HR Radio Show.
In today's show, we have looked at how to deal with malingering in the light of the Employment Appeal Tribunal's decision in Metroline West Limited against Adjudge and the comments made in that case about pulling a sickie. There are two relevant ACAS codes of practice that you should be aware of and follow. These are available from the ACAS website, and members of My Virtual HR can also download copies of them from the Downloads page in the Members area of our website, www.myvirtualhr.co.uk. In next week's show, I will be looking at suspending a salary sacrifice scheme for childcare vouchers during maternity leave and imputed knowledge, or who knows what, in the context of disability discrimination. I'm Robert Reddin from My Virtual HR. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to seeing you in next week's show.
You have been listening to the My Virtual HR Radio Show. Today's show was written and presented by Robert Redden. Music was by Kevin MacLeod. My Virtual HR, affordable outsourced HR support. For more information, visit our website, www.myvirtualhr.co.uk.